Okay, so we're dealing again, just to remember, we're dealing with problems that should do with Gwesas, and the problems are twofold. Okay? One small question and one huge question. So basically, Shidu Mitzvah is an explain the machlokas of 401. The four mitzvahs are one mitzvah. The first nafkamina explains a little bit differently, the Kalayim nafkamina. The Kalayim nafkamina is a case where you start off with a four-corner bega, which sits on all four corners, and then it gets diminished. One of its corners gets knocked off. So now, one of its tzitzios gets knocked off. So now it only has three corners. The machlokas is that docha kalayim or not? Is that garment, if I wear it, am I going to be over this or kalayim or not? Okay? But so if you say it's one mitzvah, then you say, I am over kalayim, because it's not the mitzvah. It's one mitzvah, it's all four. It's nothing. This is nothing. So I'm over kalayim. But if you say it's four separate mitzvahs, so now you have three mitzvahs, so three mitzvahs will be docha kalayim. The funny thing is that the way that the Shidu seems to set up the case is that it sounds like if you Milachachila started with three corners, only three tzitzios, then everyone would agree that it's not docha. Everyone would agree that it's not docha. The only question is if you started with four and then you knocked it down to three, then maybe you'll say that it would still be docha. And the question is, why should that make a difference? I mean, bottom line is, Three corners. Who cares whether it originally had four and now got knocked down, or if it never had four in the first place? Pause. It's possible, yeah, and I don't see the logic in it, but the whole thing doesn't seem that logical. But again, but it seems more difficult. I mean, maybe, factually, you could say that in the case where you did three lechachila, right, perhaps everyone would agree that it would be docha, kalayim. Yeah, that is a factual possibility in Shidu Batzis. It just doesn't see it. I mean, in a certain sense, you have it the other way is the way to go. But again, if we don't have a Svar here yet, so I guess that you can leave that open.
It's more of a quantitative sense.
Yeah. We'll see. Whatever. So whatever it is, but the question is still exactly... The question is, I mean, the reason why I said the first way, as much just explained, is that it would seem somehow that if you compare starting with three... or starting with four and losing one, it would seem starting with four and losing one is a little bit better. Because somehow you could say, since it started as a good thing, so it could still somehow have the remnants of it, so, or something like that. I mean, it just seems that starting with three can't be better than if you start with four and now you lost one, but you could argue. Yeah, you could argue. The bottom line is, whichever way you're going to say it doesn't make a difference, the problem is still the same. Is who really cares how it started? Bottom line is, now you have three corners. It's just on three corners. So why should it matter how it started, whether it started with it or didn't start with it? But whatever, who cares? That's the problem, basically. I mean, whatever. You haven't answered my question. Are we on? Okay. Yeah, so as Gary mentions, I mean, just the intuitive understanding of that is that somehow that if you start with three, it's nothing. But somehow if you start with four, then it has a chal shem tzitzis. So then, if it then becomes possible, so you could argue that somehow it has a shame of tzitzis psula, something like that. That seems better than if it never started with tzitzis in the first place. That's true. But we have to define that better, fit into the whole machlokas and to Rabbi Shmuel and all that. But that's why naturally that's the way I'd say it, you know. Fine. That's one case. Okay, we could work on that. But the problem, that's not the problem really, I should have asked this. I mean, that's an interesting thing. It's a curious point that I have to explain. But there's a, you know, there's a more major problem, is that the way he explains the machlokas, the nafkamina, lagave Shabbos, lagave Hotza'ah, is unique. Because basically you have Rabuna's statement is that if a person goes out on Shabbos with a talis she'enem etziyachas, kehilchasam, okay? So you have a talis which is not, the tzitzis aren't tied on properly, whatever that means, but not properly, but they're not tied on properly. So Rabuna says that's going to be, and you go ahead and touch the Rabbah with that, it's going to be, hotzah, chayav chatas, because since the tzitzis aren't proper, they're not mitzvah tzitzis. So basically they're just strings attached to a baget. But strings aren't part of the baget, so therefore, it's going to be also of those strings. Right? If it were tzitzis, then this chal hashem tzitzis would be part of the baget. But since it's not tzitzis, because it's not kel chasah, therefore it's not. Right? So now, the simple way to... So the Gemara is saying, somehow Rav Huna is a nafkamina between whether you hold four mitzvahs or one mitzvah. So the simple way, Rashi's way is, the case is if you have three corner strings on three corners. So if you say it's one mitzvah, then three corners is nothing, so three corners is going to be also. But if you say that it's one mitzvah... I'm sorry, if you say four mitzvahs, so then you three is still three mitzvahs. So therefore, it's not going to be atzah because it's tzitzis. That's a simple way to go. But Rashi, Rashi the Metzah doesn't learn that. Rashi the Metzah learns that no, it's not that whether Huna's din is going to apply by three corners. It's whether Huna's din is true altogether. That if you hold it's one mitzvah, then if you hold it's one mitzvah, then like we hold, then if you go out with the bag and it's a tal shem and says keltasa, tied on improperly, then it's going to be otzah. But if you hold like Rabbi Shmuel that there are four separate mitzvahs, then for some reason you don't hold by Rav Huna. And seemingly, even if you go out with a tal shem and says keltasa, even though it's not a proper bag, it's not a proper tzitz, still, it's not going to be a violation of otzah for some reason. The question is, what shaykhas does Rav Huna's halacha about otzah and whether a tal shem and says is considered otzah or not have anything to do with four mitzvahs or one mitzvah? On the surface, they're absolutely unrelated. And how's that a nafka mean of whether it's four mitzvahs or one mitzvah? It seems to be a question of tzah, if anything. And even if you want to somehow make it a question in tzitzis, it doesn't seem to be a question of four mitzvahs or one mitzvah. So the question is, what's the relationship? That seems to be the problem. What I mentioned is, obviously, I mean, Rabbi Shmuel is not going to hold. He doesn't hold Rav Huna. So he holds, even if it's a shlok elchasa, it's still not going to be up top. But certainly it can't be that he's going to hold that any beged, a four-corner beged, which has a string on it in any random which way, I mean, you tie it around the collar, it's not going to be defined as a... it's not going to be Mitzvah Shluk Elchasa, and certainly that's going to be up top. Apparently, Mitzvah Shluk Elchasa must be some things close to tzitzis. I mean, it has to be resembled tzitzis enough, whatever that means, however you want to quantify that, but it has results as enough such that it's defined as mitziyatz shalak elchsa. If I just stick a string around the collar, it's not mitziyatz shalak elchsa, it's not doing census. Just, you know what I mean? So if you want to say that three corners at lechachila, that's not considered mitziyatz shalak elchsa, I mean, it would seem Rav Huna has to, even Rav Shmuel is going to have to agree that there's something less than mitziyatz shalak elchsa. I mean, it takes something to become mitziyatz shalak elchsa, you know?
Yeah.
So I just want to try something here, just to get started. Oh, did I tape? I don't know if we taped that. That way we should think about this.
Oh,
you okay. So, what?
You mean how to think about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think we didn't, right?
No.
So I think a good way to think about this is it's a hard problem. So I think. Well, the first point we said is in terms of thinking about this thing, this Shidu Betzas, that we have two problems in the Shidu Betzas. The second one is the more important one to think about first, because the first one is a matter of refining the approach in terms of whether it starts as, the difference if it started as four or it ended as, you know, or if it started as three. But that's like a detail. But this second question shows you that basically you don't understand the whole machlok. The way we understand machlok is it can't possibly be related to whether you hold by Rav Huna or not. So it must be that we have no understanding of the whole area. So we can't think about a detail in the area before we ever really understand the whole area. So therefore, the first thing to think about is definitely the second question. How could this relate to Rav Huna's halacha? That's therein we're going to find the framework in which to understand the Shidu Betz's understanding of the machlok. Now we said within that, it seems difficult because that problem seems insurmountable and it's unrelated. So we said, let's first think about the Rav Huna himself. Whether, let's say it's a machlokas, not a machlokas, is do you hold Rav Huna's halacha or not? If you go out with Tal Shein Mitzvah Skeletasa on Shabbat, is it Otsa or is it not Otsa? Okay, forget about tying it in with how it fits with four or one mitzvah, all that. Just think about that itself. But with one limitation, is that you can't give a svara about Otsa. Because obviously, if you say a svara that is based upon how you understand the Malachas Otsa, then you don't stand the chance to tie it into four and one. So let's just think about it and somehow make it dependent upon the question in Mitzvah Sitzes. Okay, make it dependent upon the question in Mitzvah Sitzes. But we'll work out it later how exactly it relates to 401. But just could we define that machlokes in its own right? Because that's easier because now we're just working on defining an isolated problem. You know, again, the one limitation is that it has to relate to this. Okay, so again, the question is if I go out with the Tal Shem and says Geotza, am I over Otsa or not? So we said the first, the easier side is clearly Rav Huna. Okay, because it would seem that either you have tzitzis or it's not tzitzis. Either it's tzitzis or it's strings. If it's kelchasa, then it's tzitzis and it's not otzah. It's part of the bag. But if it's low kelchasa, then it's just strings. And it's strings, it's otzah. Strings are going to do with the garment. There's random strings attached to it. So that seems to be clear logic. So how could you possibly argue with Rav Huna? That's right. So now, again, that's what the steps brought us to a very definite question. That's what, you know, again, at first it's very, you know, out there, but now it's a very definite question. Okay? Fine. So I was thinking to answer that question is that perhaps he's saying like this, that there's two things. There's mitzvah tzitzis, okay? There's mitzvah tzitzis, mitzvah of al arba kanfas ksuscha, or gedil tasalach al arba kanfas ksuscha, the mitzvah tzitzis, and then there is the chaptza shel tzitzis, okay? The chaptza shel tzitzis itself, okay? Right, those two things. There's the chaptza shel tzitzis, and then what do I have to do with it, or what qualifies to do the mitzvah of wearing tzitzis. Now, perhaps what Rav Huna is saying is that, I'm sorry, not Rav Huna, the anti-Rav Huna Shita, is positing that those two are separable. Okay? That if you have, there's such a thing as Tal Shei Shein Mitzias Kelchasa. What does it mean? It's Shelo Kelchasa. What does it mean, Shelo Kelchasa? It means you cannot have Kiyam Mitzvah Asay of Gilad Tasach Allah Barakam Paskasuska with this baggage. It's not Kelchasa. There is a specific Hilchos. Tying of tzitzis, liyas tzitzis on a baguette, and they're a very specific manner in which it's done, and it's lo kelchasa. So it means that you're not going to be able to get kiyam mitzvah tzitzis if you do it in this manner. Okay? Yeah, we don't know the specifics, but there's such a thing as lo kelchasa. Okay? But that doesn't necessarily mean, okay, if you don't hold a kavuna, doesn't necessarily mean that it's not recognized as a chafetz shel tzitzis. Okay, that the strings that since they're supposed to be close enough, if they're tied in the basically in the right manner, it could be that they are a chafetz shel tzitzis. But hilchos, so to speak, hilchos mitzvah saseh of tzitzis says not every single chafetz shel tzitzis is kosher for a mitzvah tzitzis. Mitzvah tzitzis is an implementation. Like for instance, you can imagine, like you have an asrog. You can have an asrog, and you can have an asrog pasul. Okay, a lemon isn't an asrog pasul. An asrog where the pitum falls off isn't the same thing as a lemon. Okay, an asrog pasul. It's such a thing as an asrog pasul. Again, I don't know if there's an afkamina, but you can imagine that it's the right chafetza, but the hilchos of mitzvah saseh of lulav and asrog demand that my asrog is mechudar and has all kinds of different properties. But does that mean it's not a chafetz shel asrog if the pitum falls off? You could say no. You say it is a chafetz shel asrog. Okay. So similarly, you could say that's what the issues are positive. So when it comes to mitzvah tzitzis, there is such a category of mitzvah shel kelchasa. What does it mean mitzvah shel kelchasa? It is mitzvah yatzis. It has a shem tzitzis, but it's lo kelchasa. Means that it cannot function for mitzvah tzitzis. Rav Huna holds that that's not possible. Rav Huna is holding that there's no discrepancy. That there's no, that basically, chafetza shel tzitzis and mitzvah tzitzis run parallel. Okay, and if it's not proper for mitzvah tzitzis, then it's not a chafetza shel tzitzis. And if it is proper for mitzvah if it is a chafetza shel tzitzis, then you could wear it. So therefore, once it's shelok elchasa, which means that you can't do mitzvah tzitzis with it, so that means it's not tzitzis. So it's not tzitzis, so then it's going to be outside. Okay, but again, the other shita is holding, no, that's not true. There exists a phenomenon. Okay? The Rav Huna is making a statement that it's impossible, you can't separate the two. But they all know it's not true. They are separable. There could be a phenomenon where you could have, even though you can't, you're not yotze, your mitzvah is say tzitzis with that, but still, if I put it on my baguette, does it have a shem tzitzis, and is it going to be an extraneous string, or is it a shem tzitzis, and therefore it's not going to be yotze? Yeah, it does have a shem tzitzis. It's not a matzah. It does relate to the baguette. But mitzvah is a specific mitzvah as a pair of parameters. Okay. Maybe just as an illustration of this idea, this distinction, it's like you see, for instance, we hold, it's a question. Let's say Laila Lazma tzitzis. Okay, so at night, there's no mitzvah tzitzis. You know, chayvin tzitzis, no kiyum tzitzis, so there's no mitzvah tzitzis, right? So let's say I wear a baguette with tzitzis on Shabbos at night. Friday night, I go out across the Rosh Hashanah with a baguette with tzitzis. So when you say, well, this isn't, there's no mitzvah tzitzis at night. So basically these strings are just strings. They're not tzitzis, they're not right. So you should say it's otzah. So you should only be able to allow out to wear tzitzis on Shabbos during the daytime. But that's certainly not the case. So why not? So the answer is because the mitzvah tzitzis is only bayom and not balayla. That's the mitzvah saseh of wearing tzitzis only bayom. You're not mechuyav to wear tzitzis bayom and balayla. But the chafta shel tzitzis, you don't say that every night and day, my tzitzis goes in and out of existence. It doesn't. The chafta shel tzitzis exists 24/7. But only the mitzvah tzitzis and the chiyuv of tzitzis is only in the daytime. But you see there clearly that the chafta's existence is separate from the details of the maisa mitzvah.
You can say the same thing for a kalayim.
Sure, as David points out, it's true. That's why by kalayim, for instance, at nighttime. So why don't you say, if I have a baggage shal pishton and I have tchelas which is tzemer, so you say that, I say it's dachal losa, say, right? So what about at night? At night there's no kima save tzitzis. So I could be dachal losa, say. So I should have to take off my garment at night, but again, that's not the case. So why? Because in terms of say dachal losa, apparently the chafza shel tzitzis, which is a chafza shel mitzvah, is a docha kalayim. But not the mitzvah the key of mitzvah saseyat. Apparently, the chafta shel tzitzis itself is that which is docha kalayim. So even at night, it's a chafta shel tzitzis. So therefore, that's no sir kalayim when it comes to the chafta shel tzitzis. But so that shows you again, and that's maybe gonna where we're headed a little bit here. But in terms of kalayim also. Kalayim is going to be dependent upon, even if there's no kima mitzvah of tzitzis, but if it's a chafza shel tzitzis, then it's not going to be kalayim. Okay, I mean, that's interesting, getting into the sugya, a little bit of a say, the whole society and how that works out. I mean, that's, you know, we're not in the sugya. This, I think, is the source of a say, the whole society, I think. I'm not sure. I think Yibam also is the case, but I think by tzitzis, there's a whole question outside of the tzitzis.